Well, Merry Christmas. It's good to see you tonight. And if you're like me, you're just kind of excited for what this Christmas season will bring. And so let me just pray for us, and then we will get into what we're going to look at tonight. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much that we get to gather. We get to be reminded of the reality and the hope of Jesus Christ, that first Christmas coming to be the Savior of the world. And I pray that that truth will sink deeply into our hearts tonight. We pray in your Son's precious name. Amen. If you have a Bible, go ahead and grab it and turn with me to Micah chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible and you're seated in one of the white square rows, there should be a Bible in the pew back in front of you. It's either blue or black, and the pages are on the screen of where we're going to be. But if I don't get a chance to talk to you, I just want to, again, wish you a Merry Christmas. My name is Derek Van Ruler. I'm the lead pastor here of Sunbury City Church. And it's just a joy to be able to point you back to why we celebrate Christmas, the very reason why we gather to celebrate who Jesus Christ is. Again, if you're like me, you're probably excited for this season, right? One year, I was so excited that the moment the calendar turned October 1st, I began to play Christmas music. Anybody ever do that like 3 months in advance? They start turning on the Christmas music, right? Have you ever thought about why we get so excited for Christmas, though? What is it about this season that we just have some sort of anticipation? You know, I think it boils down to the fact that we go through life, and we go through our year, and as we begin to reach the end of the year, we are longing for something to kind of right all of the wrongs throughout the year. We long for something to kind of make us whole again. We long for something to bring us hope. And so often we put that hope into Christmas, and the reality is what will happen Monday morning? You'll realize that Christmas did not satisfy. In fact, psychologists call it the Christmas blues. If you are unaware of that, sorry, but Monday, the Christmas blues will set in where all of your hopes, all of your dreams, everything you had wanted Christmas to be, you'll realize that inside of you there's still this longing for more. There's still this angst, this desire for hope. This desire for peace, really. And man, we recognize this desire for peace, don't we? Over the last couple of years, just this longing that there would be some sort of peace to bring to our troubled hearts. And yet what we see at that first Christmas is we see the Prince of Peace born. We see the Prince of Peace coming. And so what we celebrate at Christmas is that Christ brings eternal peace. That no present, no family member, no food, nothing else will bring you peace like Jesus Christ brings you peace. And so tonight, I just want to look at the kind of peace that Jesus actually brings. And so in light of that, would you stand with me as I read God's word? We believe that you need to hear from God, and we want to hear from God tonight. And so we're going to read Isaiah chapter 5, starting in verse 1 to the first part of verse 5. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of the brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord. And all God's people said, praise be to God. You may be seated. And so we are looking at this section in Micah that probably many of us may have heard parts of it in the Christmas story. As Mandy read earlier in Matthew 2, we see the wise men, and as they come to find baby Jesus, they're looking, where is he? As they find religious scholars, if you will, they look back to Micah 5:2, and they say, oh, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. And so tonight I just want to look briefly at what happened in Micah 5. And what we see is that the people of God have rebelled against God, and as a result, God is going to bring destruction on his people. And in the middle of that, he brings hope. He brings hope of a future peace, a kind of peace that they've never experienced before. And as they hope for peace, we see five reasons or five truths that will lead us to this peace. And so let's quickly look at these truths. You see, in that first Christmas, this passage is pointing us to the coming of Jesus. And in that first Christmas, we see that Christ sees our plight. He sees the trouble that we go through. I don't know how your life is going, but my guess is that some of us in here tonight might feel like life has just kind of sucker punched them. That maybe your life is difficult, maybe this year has been harder than the year prior, and maybe you are just wondering, longing for some sort of hope, longing for someone to kind of just look and say, I notice you, I see you. And we see that in the middle of the people of God and the destruction coming, God sees them. Look at verse 1. We see in verse 1 that the Lord says, muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. There's the foreign armies coming, and they're coming to destroy the people of God, and they're going to bring a rod, and they're going to strike the judge of Israel. And notice who the one is speaking. The one speaking is the prophet of God. The one speaking is one from God, communicating the message of God. Because God saw his people. God saw the situation they were in. God saw the plight that they were in, and he had not forgotten them. In fact, even in the reality that they would take the rod and strike the judge of Israel, we will read that there is hope. Because God cares. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you just feel like your life has been struck. That it feels like every time you try to get up, someone knocks you back down. Maybe you feel like no one cares. That your life just feels a bit worthless, valueless. You know, what we see here is that God cares. God sees. And we know he sees because he sent his son. We know he sees because he did not send his son so that we can decorate trees and get presents, but he sent his son to die. Do you get that? That the one who was close to the Father actually became one who was far from the Father, and the one who had this love from the Father actually was one who was struck by the Father as he hung on the cross, as all of the judgment and punishment for your sin and my sin, as all of that landed on Jesus, he was struck on the cheek. So that you and I who feel daily struck might actually be brought back into relationship with God. You see, the one who is near was driven away, and those of us who feel driven away because of Jesus can be brought near. And so your life matters. Someone knows you. Someone sees you. And he sent his son for you. But then the second truth that we see is that Christ comes without pomp. So often we think of kind of the pomp and circumstance. If you've graduated high school, that's the song that you walk down the aisle to as you receive your diploma. And so often we think that the King of the universe is going to come like that with a parade. You know, we think bigger is better. We think all of the fanfare, all of the marketing hype, those are the things that we should be about. And yet that's not the way of Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus' kingdom is upside down. In fact, he doesn't come with much fanfare. He comes in a lowly stable in a small little town. Look with me at verse 2. We see that the Lord through Micah says, "O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah." This is a small town that doesn't even make the map. In fact, if you look at lists in the Bible, you will typically not find Bethlehem in those lists because it was so small, so insignificant that no one cared about it. Maybe that's how you feel. Maybe you feel insignificant, that your life doesn't matter. But notice the promise that happens. "You who are too little, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel. One whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient of days." You see, in this small, insignificant town, in this town of perhaps 200 at best, the Savior of the world was born in a lowly stable. And so what that means for us is that if he would go to such low places, you and I who might feel like we are in low places, who might feel like we do not matter, we know that that first Christmas proves that even you and even I matter to God. You see, he didn't go to the capital city and look for the elite. He came for the broken. He came for the weary. He came for the tired. Is that you? If that's you, he's come for you. And notice what he comes with. We see that Christ comes with power. Look at verse 3. We see that the one who is in labor will give birth. If you read the stories of Jesus' birth in Matthew or Luke, you will see that it's a virgin birth. And yet, God, by his power, still allowed Mary to become pregnant and give birth to the Savior of the world. But notice that what happens in light of this birth. We read, Micah writes that the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. At this point, because of their sin, God has taken the people of God and he's dispersed them. He spread them across the entire known world, scattered them. And yet when this virgin gives birth, Micah says, when she goes into labor, the Savior of the world will come, and when he comes, he will actually gather the family back together. And we know that it's not just the physical people of Israel that he will gather, but it's all who believe in Jesus Christ. That no matter your sin, no matter your background, no matter what you come in here tonight with, we know that Jesus comes with power and he can gather even you into his family. It doesn't matter what you've done this week. It doesn't matter what you've done this year. It doesn't matter the history of your life. What matters is what Jesus has done. That he's come as a lowly boy. That he lived the perfect life. That at the end of that life, he gave it up for you and I. So that if we trust in him, if we believe in him, as he died, our sin is put on him. And as he rose from the dead, we too can be given life. And we too can be called a son or a daughter of the Most High God of the universe. That's the kind of power that he brings to us. And then we see that Christ comes with protection. Look at verse 4. We see that he will stand and he will shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. We're given two pictures here. We're given a picture of one standing, almost looking over, as if he's king, as if he's ruler, looking at all of his people, ruling and reigning. And yet we don't see a harsh ruler, we see a shepherd. And what does a shepherd do? A shepherd guides his flock to food. A shepherd guides his flock to water. A shepherd guides his flock to a place to sleep. A shepherd guides his flock and then guards his flock against wolves seeking to devour them. And now we see this one coming who will shepherd, who will bring protection. And notice how he brings that protection. He brings it in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. He brings it with incredible power. If you're reading along, you'll see something weird about that word Lord. All of those letters are in capital letters. It's because that's the proper name for God. And it's the name that was used when God's people were in slavery for 400 years. Imagine that. I mean, some of you had today off, right? Imagine no day off, 400 years, no Christmas celebration. And in the middle of that, the Lord comes and he rescues his people from the mightiest nation on earth. And he takes them and he says, "You're now mine and I am now yours." And he brings them into this land and he blesses them with his presence. And he protects them. And now we see this one coming. Jesus comes in the majesty of the name of that Lord. The one who can rescue. The one who can save. The one who can bring stability. Because notice what he says next. That they will dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. That this one will rule, this one will reign, and there will be no place across the entire world where he is not in control of. You know, many of us love security, don't we? We love stability. We love everything to just kind of stay in its place and everything in our life to just continue on as before. And yet there are so many things that happen in life that bring an immense instability, that bring much confusion. But with Jesus Christ, we see that there is stability. We see that there is security because we see that he reigns and rules over all things. And so tonight, if you have that angst in you, you're longing for something to just kind of fill you up, we see that if we come to Jesus, he is the one that can fill us up. Because he is the one that can bring us the peace that we're looking for. And that's what we see lastly, that Christ comes with peace. Look at verse 5. We see, and he shall be their peace. Man, that sounds beautiful, doesn't it? I know I long for peace. I long for a moment in which everything around me is just calm. If you're a parent, you realize this, right? You just long for the moment where all your kids are just quiet and the house is just peaceful. And yet the rest of us feel this as well. And Micah promises that Jesus will be our peace. How do we know that? We know that because Jesus himself promises that to us. In Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus tells us, "Come to me, all who labor, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle, I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Friends, tonight, I know that as we leave here, there's much excitement of what the night holds for you. But I also know that Monday and Tuesday are coming. And when the hangover of the lights and the trees and the presents and the food and the family, when that begins to set in, our hearts will continue to long for deeper peace. And tonight we just see that Jesus says, "Come to me. If you're looking for peace, come to me. I will give you peace." Friends, that's offered to you tonight. Peace with the one who is Prince of Peace. That's why he came at Christmas. So that you and I can have peace now, and you and I can have peace forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that first Christmas. The reality of a chaotic world that we live in. The reality of much confusion in our lives. The reality of much insecurity, instability. The reality that we love the lights, we love the glamour, and yet they all leave us hopeless. Father, I pray that tonight, that we might see the reality of Christmas, that it's with the coming of Christ we are given greater peace than ever before. We pray in your Son's precious name. Amen.